It's hard to read between these lines without really seeing the picture. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
And it's great to be back with you, Barry. I'm glad you're feeling better. I've been I've been running some carefully planned reruns the last few days so that we could come in and talk about a certain topic. And of course, as usually happens when I make big plans, the events in the news move in and brush everything aside.
So in other words, your plan got filibustered.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today about the, well, maybe not quite historic, but definitely patriotic filibuster by United States Senator from Kentucky, Rand Paul, who on Wednesday of this week took to the floor of the United States Senate early in the morning when they were opening for the business of the day was the confirmation of the nomination of John Brennan as the next director of the Central Intelligence Agency under President Obama. And Senator Paul had a bone to pick. Well, actually, he more like had a drone to pick, I guess would be the key.
Oh, absolutely a drone to pick. I like that. Basically, what was asked is this actually has been going on for years. And it's the use of drones to kill people who we are ostensibly at war with. Although, you know, there is no such thing. You know, we've talked about this before. The war on terror is really a non sequitur.
A war on a tactic, yes.
That's right, because terror is a battle tactic. You can't fight a war against a battle tactic. It's sort of like declaring war on the full frontal cavalry charge. You can't declare war on that.
But if we see one, we'll send a drone after it, Chuck.
Well, we probably will. And a full frontal cavalry charge in this day and age would sort of be suicidal. I think the last one of those was probably in World War I, maybe. Although the Poles apparently tried it against tanks during Hitler's attack in September 1939. It wasn't particularly successful.
Yeah, I'm not I'm not sure either man nor horse made it out of that one well.
No, I don't think they acquitted themselves well in that battle. But that being said, what has been going on is we've decided that we can go out, and if someone is a combatant, quote-unquote, in this war on terror, we can take them out with a drone. And by take them out, I mean kill them. Okay. Well, Barry, there's a mechanism in the United States Constitution for basically killing or taking back damages from people who are not necessarily specific combatants in a specific war with one between one nation and another.
Right.
And that is called, if you look, and I believe it's in Article 1, Section 8, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you're right.
And it is called Letters of Mark and Reprisal.
Yes. Now, those of you who may be familiar with certain movies like Master and Commander and others that were based around the late 1700s, early 1800s naval battles might understand what a letter of mark is, but I'm guessing that most people don't, Chuck.
No, a letter of mark and or a letter of reprisal are ways that countries can use if, for instance, a nation is harboring criminals, pirates, if you will. And pirate, remember, is a contraction of the word privateer, or sometimes called a freebooter. If you look, for instance, England in the late 1500s, during the time of the Spanish Armada, didn't really have a navy. What they had was a lot of privateers. And you'll hear about Drake and the Spanish Armada and how he defeated the Spanish Armada. Drake was not in Britain's navy. He was a privateer. He was a private citizen who had a ship or had command of a ship. And he agreed to get other private citizens who had command of a ship together, and they arrayed themselves against the Spanish Armada. Okay, that being said, we're doing a really truncated history of this. A nation like the United States, if there's not sufficient evidence to declare war against a nation, but you still want to be able to recover damages or capture freebooters, can issue what's called a letter of mark or a letter of reprisal. And what that allows actually privateers to do is to go out and either capture those individuals or in some cases to kill them if they have committed some act that requires some kind of reprisal. Okay, it's not a far stretch to say that Congress could use the Navy to do that. I don't think. Because remember, the letter of mark and reprisal came out in the days before there was a particularly large Navy. And in fact, our real Navy didn't start until Jefferson's administration.
Well, you know, that's true. But what we have today, Charles, is it's not so much the Navy, as we've reported on in previous programs, which you can find online at principledpolicy.com, where we've talked about the dreadful case of Anwar al-Awlaki, who was an American citizen who was in a foreign country, who was killed by a drone flown by the United States, but not manned by the Navy or manned by the Marines or manned by the Army, but it was guided, directed, and executed its mission by the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. So I find it quite a full circle turn of events here that Rand Paul is bringing this particular issue up during the nomination debate over the next director of the Central Intelligence Agency, John Brennan. Now, I think it's also interesting because what Senator Paul, I keep wanting to say Mr. Paul, but Senator Paul, it's Mr. Smith goes to Washington, not Mr. Paul. But Senator Paul used what is known as the filibuster. Now, in recent legislative history in the Senate, most of the time a filibuster is enough senators coming up to the leader and saying, we're not going to vote to support cloture on this issue. So because you have to have a cloture vote to close debate and then move to a vote. And what many senators would do is just say, well, we're just not going to give you our vote for cloture. And that's what they've been considering a filibuster, because if you can't get to, I believe it's 60 votes to close debate, well, then you can't move on to a vote, which is basically a pocket filibuster. Well, this wasn't the case here with the nomination of John Brennan. They had gotten their cloture, but they were moving to a full vote. Senator, the traditional, the historic, the time-honored filibuster to the floor, where he stood and commanded the floor for almost 13 straight hours. I believe he started at 9 o'clock in the morning. No, excuse me, 10 o'clock in the morning. And he went until after midnight. And because he gave breaks for people asking him questions, and of course some of the other senators were smart enough to actually take the floor and make statements and put it in the form of a question by saying, well, isn't that right, Senator Paul, at the end of it, giving him time to take a breather, get off his feet for a minute, eat a candy bar, or have a drink of water, or whatever it might be. But he pretty much single-handedly tied up the entire Senate for a day with this filibuster. Now, I think it's also funny, Chuck, coming full circle, that as we're talking about the filibuster, and we've been talking about privateers and letters of mark and reprisal, do you know what is synonymous with the word pirate and freebooter that we've talked about?
I do, and I'm going to let you do it.
Okay. It's the word filibuster. Filibuster is a synonym for pirate or for freebooter or buccaneer or corsair. So it's a nautical term as well as a term of debate.
That's right. And it was called a filibuster basically as a pejorative, because a filibuster normally, for instance, we've all heard about Aaron Burr being tried for treason. Well, Aaron Burr attempted a military filibuster. That was his plan. He was going to raise a private army and invade Mexico.
Yes.
An attempt to take over the government of Mexico. And basically what he wanted to do was, he didn't necessarily want to rule Mexico. He wanted to break off the Southwest. And by the Southwest, I mean Texas, New Mexico, and maybe Arizona, but mostly Texas is what he was interested in. And that was called at the time a filibuster. That is what Aaron Burr basically got in Dutch for. So what we have here is we're running a filibuster against what? A seizure of power that was unconstitutional. Really, that's what it was. He was filibustering the nomination of someone to the CIA who had made it clear that he had no problem with murdering American citizens on American soil if they were, quote unquote, involved in or maybe peripherally connected to Al-Qaeda. Well, Barry,
right. Now, and of course, this was also in where they had had a back and forth. The committee that he was on had interviewed Attorney General Eric Holder, and Rand Paul wasn't satisfied with the answers he was getting from the head of the Department of Justice as to whether or not we were going to protect American citizens on American soil from being targets of drone strike. Well, basically, Holder just didn't want to answer his question directly, and that's what encouraged Senator Paul to bring this filibuster on Brennan's nomination.
Well, exactly. And really, Barry, what was going on here? I mean, you think about what's the big deal? Everybody says, well, we should be able to get rid of those guys. Well, there's a little problem that stands in the way of just going in and wiping out individuals who might or might not be engaged in treason against the United States. And what is that problem?
I believe that's called the United States Constitution, Charles.
It's the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
that guarantees every American citizen the right of trial by jury of his peers. And it also allows him to present evidence and confront his accuser. What these guys are saying is, under certain circumstances, we want to be able to abrogate the Bill of Rights. Well, that cannot be allowed. Okay, let's talk about if this person is involved in a shootout.
Well, let's stop here, though, first, because we'll give Eric Holder a little credit. What he basically said was, well, we have no intention to bomb anybody in any specific territory. So I guess intention is 9/10 of the law here, Chuck.
Barry, that thing is so full of wiggle room. Well, of course you don't. But what if all of a sudden tomorrow somebody pops up with the big idea of sending drones around to assassinate Americans? Well, we didn't intend that when I wrote that letter, but now we do.
Well, exactly. Intentions are not the letter of the law. And that was what Senator Paul was so upset about. And he even said during his filibuster that if I can get in writing from them clearly stating that they will not harm American citizens on soil, I will step down from blocking the vote on the nomination of John Brennan. And he went for 13 hours while the president was having dinner with a couple of Republican senators. So he didn't get his answer. So he kept going until basically Harry Reid, the Senate majority leader, had to basically cry uncle and say, well, I don't think we're going to get our business done today. And at that point, after midnight, Rand Paul finally relented and stepped down from the post.
There were more than a couple of Republicans, by the way, that showed up for dinner with Obama. But two of the most vocal and two of the most asinine were John McCain, big shock, and Lindsey Graham, big shock. Basically, they both came out today and attempted to rattle Paul's cage. And in fact, Rand Paul showed what he was made of and showed that he doesn't rattle so well. Now, what's interesting about this is that such establishment tomes, and really the mouthpiece for the military-industrial complex, the Wall Street Journal, came out and chastised Paul. And essentially, we've got a couple of articles here. Now, we're getting close to being out of time. But we've got a couple of articles here that talk about what the problems were in the Wall Street Journal article and really basically showed that it was nothing but the old guard Republican establishment starting to show that the foundation is not quite as strong as it's looked in the last 6 months or so. That, in fact, it's a crumbling edifice in the face of true leadership in the form of guys like Rand Paul. And, in fact, Ted Cruz just took Attorney General Holder to the woodshed and basically forced him to come clean and say, well, look, no, it's not legal for the President of the United States to order the killing of a non-combatant on American soil. Well, everybody thought that was a great thing. I think it was a great thing, too, but it missed the point, and that was that who decides who's a combatant?
Well, and I believe we'll get to that when we talk more about the gray journal, the Wall Street Journal, and what their view on this whole thing is.
Well, that's right. And, of course, as always, when we start to get going, we are out of time.
Well, join us tomorrow and on our Saturday program, and we're going to be going into quite a bit of depth on this in relation to how many people are misinterpreting the United States Constitution.
Yeah, all across the board.